and welcome into a Monday edition of the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X, Inauguration Day 2025. It is finally here after years of the Biden administration and their botched policies. We are excited today to swing in and sweep in a brand new America. And you know, there's this, of course, outrage and people screaming and crying today. I'm sure you'll have many universities and other places across the country that will have days today where support staff will be available to help you in this very scary process. There's an orange man that is going to be making his way back into the Oval Office. And that, of course, is, well, very scary for a lot of folks, for whatever reason. Let's just completely ignore the fact that Trump has already been in the Oval Office. Let's ignore the fact that he's already served as the commander-in-chief, the president of the United States, for one term. We'll just ignore all of that and act like the world is coming to an end, when in reality, we are getting back to a basic sense of normalcy in this country. And that's obvious based on the election that we saw back in November of last year. The American public is absolutely itching to have this sense of normalcy back. They want Trump in the Oval Office. Now, you can still disagree with the guy. You can say that you don't like his policies, you don't like this, you don't like that. You can't argue that he was not successful in convincing the American people that what they saw over the last 4 years was not good for America. What they unfortunately had to live through under Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, you can't tell me and try and convince me that the American people did not just completely repudiate that in the November election last year. So as everybody is planning their days of silence, their days of crying and screaming at the sky over the fact that Trump is back in the Oval Office, I'm very excited. And I'm sure many of you feel the same way. Welcome back, America. I mean, that's really what we're talking about today. And we've got a lot that we're going to get into this morning. We are going to be back on later on, around 11:30 or so. We'll be watching the inauguration together. We'll be streaming that live on YouTube, Rumble, and X. So hopefully you can join for that. A little bit of a shorter live podcast this morning. But we'll be back on live stream a little bit later. And hopefully you'll join me, watch the inauguration together. Plans, a little bit different. Obviously, you're familiar with the inauguration typically takes place outside. Well, it is frigid in Washington, D.C. this morning. It is really cold. As of right now, according to AccuWeather.com, they've got the temperature at 24 degrees with the wind 3 degrees gusting to 7. So, I mean, you're going to be looking at real feel temperatures that are significantly colder than that. You're going to be in the upper teens upper teens and lower 20s. So it is very cold in Washington, D.C. That's this morning. That's why the inauguration has moved inside. Trump posted this on True Social on Friday. He says, quote, "There is an Arctic blast sweeping the country. I didn't want to see people hurt or injured in any way. Therefore, I have ordered the inaugural address, in addition to the prayer and other speeches, to be delivered in the United States Capitol Rotunda, as was used by Ronald Reagan in 1985, also because of very cold weather." It was, I think, 7 degrees during Reagan's second inauguration in 85. So the rotunda is, when you look at the Capitol, that's the dome that you see. That's what the Capitol Rotunda is, and that's where the events are going to be taking place today. Now, obviously, disappointing for individuals that got tickets and wanted to go and stand outside. But due to those extreme conditions, Trump and I'm sure his team said, hey, you know, the best situation here, the best solution here is to just move this thing inside. It's disappointing, sure. But you've got you have a bunch of people standing outside in 20 degree temperatures for hours on end for the inauguration. Probably isn't the best look either. So essentially, in the Capitol, you're going to have dignitaries, members of Congress, and VIP guests. Extremely limited space. The Joint Congressional Committee on Inaugural Ceremonies, which is responsible for all of this, it's a joint venture in which this takes place, has said that the vast majority of ticketed guests will not be able to attend the ceremonies in person. That sucks. But I guess better than dealing with hypothermia or frostbite or something like that from standing outside. So that's what's going to be going on later on this afternoon, later on today. Or later on this morning into the afternoon. So this is kind of the schedule. This is how things are going to go down. And again, it starts around 11:30. That's when the procession to the Capitol will take place. It will be followed by the vice president's swearing-in ceremony. That will be the swearing-in will be held, again, inside the Capitol Rotunda. You'll have Clarence Thomas doing Vance's swearing-in. And then you'll have Chief Justice John Roberts doing Trump swearing in. So those will be the two things that happen after the procession to the Capitol takes place. And then you'll have the inaugural address, in which Trump is going to set out his agenda for America. After that, there will be a signing ceremony, which the president will sign executive orders, which we'll talk about here in a couple of minutes. An inaugural luncheon, and then the president's going to head on over to the Capital One Arena, which is in downtown Washington, where there'll be about 20,000 people in attendance for probably a similar kind of campaign-style rally. So it's going to be a busy afternoon for Trump. It's going to be a busy afternoon in Washington, D.C. And going back to what I opened with and talking about that, the American people are looking for change. Now, again, you can agree, disagree with the change. It's obvious that that's what they were looking for. It's why Trump won 7 of 7 swing states, won the popular vote. It's why he was handedly reelected as the president of the United States. And so with that, people have expectations, and they should. Trump's, and it's important to kind of look at the context with this. When Trump won in 2016, he, of course, was a true political outsider. Nobody can argue that. I mean, this is a guy that rose to power within the Republican primary. He was, by most accounts, taken as a joke by a lot of the, what you would now call the party establishment, who said that he's not serious, right? There's not a chance in hell that he wins. Impossibility that Trump becomes, at that time, the 45th president of the United States. He soared through the primaries, handedly won that, and then, of course, it was on to the main dance, beating Hillary Clinton in the 2016 presidential election. And he did that, to the surprise of many. Even though you may have wanted him to win, a lot of people didn't believe it was truly possible based on polling, media coverage, everything. Obviously, we saw how that turned out for old Hillary and the Democrats in 16. But it's important to remember that when Trump first got into the Oval Office, it was a whole new ballgame. There were a lot of individuals giving the president at the time very bad advice. Very bad advice. And we unfortunately saw that play out with some pretty poor things that happened during his first term. Bad picks, individuals like Jeff Sessions to be the Attorney General. And it was because there was this vacuum around Trump because he, again, truly is and was that political outsider. He had not been in the political game, and you had a lot of individuals saying they supported Trump, rushing to his aid, rushing to his side, only to give him, in most cases, what I would describe as pretty piss poor advice. But that's what happened. And that caused the first 2 years of the Trump administration, when he had control of the House and the Senate, to be a little bit of a cluster. At the same time, you had Republicans in Congress that didn't like Trump, didn't take him seriously. And so that there was a whole bunch of infighting within the Republican Party. You had Paul Ryan still as the House Speaker. It was a real mess. If you go back and kind of read through the news clippings and look at the years of 2016 to 2018, it was a mess. But fortunately, now, I hope, and I hope I don't have to swallow my words on this, but I hope that we don't see anything like that in this second term for Trump. And there's a couple of reasons why. First of all, hopefully he's learned better. Hopefully he has learned that you've got to be very careful with who you surround yourself with. You have to be very cognizant of the individuals that you suck into your inner circle. And number two, we have a very short timetable here to get some major changes done. Yes, today is an amazing day. It's going to be a phenomenal inauguration ceremony. I'm so excited, like many of you, that Trump is back in the Oval Office. It's great. But there's a short timetable here. We've got midterm elections that will be here, unfortunately, before we know it. And with that, Republicans have right now a large margin in the Senate, a much smaller margin in the House, and coming up here a little bit later on this morning, a President Trump back in the White House. And so they've got to hit the ground running, and it appears that that's exactly what's going to happen. Brooke Singman, who is the digital editor over at foxnews.com, got an exclusive yesterday with somebody very close to the Trump administration, who was, by the way, given permission to talk to Brooke over at Fox News, and laid out some 200 executive actions that are going to take place on day one. And most of these things, they're pretty substantial. We're not talking about tiny little things here and there. These are some substantial executive action that we are expecting literally today. I mean, within the next couple of hours, as soon as he is sworn in, as soon as he once again takes control and is the commander-in-chief of the country, we will see these things take place. And that's very encouraging. We'll get to those executive orders coming up here in just a minute. I want to remind you that you can support the show and get access to bonus content by subscribing to the Nick Craig Show over on Patreon. It's patreon.com/Nick Craig. You can head on over there. You get the daily show notes, which are published shortly after the show is over. Additional bonus behind the scenes content. We'll be doing a monthly kind of a Zoom call hangout. We'll be chatting politics and going back and forth on issues and all of that to support the show in our endeavors here on the Nick Craig Show. It's patreon.com/Nick Craig. We've already had a couple of folks sign up and support that. So very much appreciate your support. And if you think you're getting any value out of the show, encourage you to head on over there, patreon.com/Nick Craig. So President Trump, according to Brooke Sigmund at Fox News, is set to sign more than 200 executive actions on Inauguration Day. A senior administration official who is familiar with the executive actions and authorized to brief Fox News Digital said that Trump will end, on day one, Trump will end catch and release, pause all offshore wind leases, terminate the electric vehicle mandate, abolish the Green New Deal, withdraw from the Paris Climate Accord, and take several major steps to assert presidential control over the federal bureaucracy. The official told Brooke Sigmund that Trump will sign multiple omnibus executive orders that each contain dozens of major executive actions. So going through the details, the official told Fox, quote, the president is issuing a historic series of executive actions and orders that will fundamentally reform the American government, including the complete and total restoration of American sovereignty. Trump is expected to declare a national border emergency, direct the U.S. military to work with the Department of Homeland Security to fully secure the southern border, and establish a national priority to eliminate all criminal cartels currently operating on U.S. soil. Trump will also close the border to all illegal aliens via proclamation, according to Fox. Trump will also create task forces, for the protection of Homeland Security with officers from the FBI, ICE, and CIA, and other agencies to fully eradicate the presence of criminal cartels. Trump will also direct designations of cartels as foreign terrorist organizations, which the official says will unlock new authorities to achieve the Trump Homeland Security mission. That's big stuff there. He's going to reinstitute Remain in Mexico and direct the military to construct a new era of border wall. He's also set to grant emergency authorization to suspend the illegal entry of aliens across the southern border, allowing for individuals to be apprehended, quote, swiftly and swiftly returned to their countries of origin. With that, drill, baby, drill. We heard a lot about that during the presidential campaign. Trump is set to fully unleash Alaskan energy, which the official describes as essential to U.S. national security. In one of these executive orders, apparently it will deal just with energy policy. It will address liquid natural gas, ports, fracking, pipelines, permitting, and more, while also terminating Biden's policies that have, quote, constrained U.S. energy supply. So we're hitting off on a couple of things here. First, we talked about, you know, the immigration issue, which immigration and crime, right? That's one. That's in that kind of one of those first omnibus executive orders. Two, we've got unleashing energy, which is a big one. And number three, the official also said Trump will fully reform the federal bureaucracy by establishing presidential control over a career federal workforce and make it clear to federal workers that they can be removed from their posts for failing to comply with executive directions. Trump is also set to sign an executive order to strengthen presidential control over senior government officials and implement a new merit-based hiring review. The president is also to take action to return federal workers to in-person work, which is something that we, of course, have seen on the private sector side, a big push on that over the last year or two after COVID. Same thing now at the federal government level. The official also said that Trump is set to end the weaponization of the federal government and restore freedom of speech, as well as ending federal censorship. So those are the three big tasks that it seems Trump is going to take right here on day one with some of these EOs. The border, energy policy, which of course works very well with the economy, and the out of control, I don't know any other way to describe it, but the out of control federal bureaucracy. Those are the three big things. I found this to be very interesting. This was in this again. Brooke Sigmon has got this the exclusive over at FoxNews.com. Trump on his first day will also suspend the security clearances for 51 national security officers who the Trump transition team claim lied about Hunter Biden's laptop ahead of the 2020 presidential election. You remember that? I know it was a long time ago. But remember the Hunter Biden laptop story? It was broken by the New York Post. It was, by the way, shopped to all these other major news outlets. They didn't want to run with it, right? Only the highest level of journalistic integrity by the New York Times and the Washington Post. They wouldn't get into such kind of tabloid garbage as that. You had these 51 national security officials. Oh, it's Russian disinformation. It's fake news. It's a psyop being permeated by Russia. All of that turned out to be complete and total BS. The Hunter Biden laptop story and the Hunter Biden laptop itself was 100% true, 100% accurate. So Trump's going to suspend their security clearances. Good. Phenomenal. Why should these individuals still have security clearances? They're dishonest brokers of truth. Part of his additional executive actions, including establishing biological sex definitions, male and female, thank God, renaming places like the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America, and more. Now, this is pretty exciting. Trump is set to end all diversity, equity, and inclusion policies across the federal government. And with that, Trump is also set to establish the Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE, as you've heard it talked about a lot through this transition. It was set to be led by Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy. Ramaswamy, as of this morning, is out, by the way. I'm not sure if you caught that, but apparently Ramaswamy has not been doing much. He's not been getting along with anybody. And I saw a report earlier this morning that even before DOGE is even officially enshrined, Vivek is out. Now, there were some rumors that he might take over the Senate seat that's now vacant due to J.D. Vance being the VP. That's not going to happen. It's going to be the Ohio lieutenant governor that's going to take over that post. And now there's some rumblings that Vivek might run to be the governor of Ohio. So already seeing some fracturing there on DOGE. But nevertheless, it will be established. That's good news. The official said that that Trump is also going to sign some EOs that are going to gain control over foreign aid and NGO funding. NGO funding is a big one. The NGOs are non-governmental organizations. And these NGOs suck down billions of dollars a year worth of your and my monies to do stupid things like study some snail in a forest somewhere out in California, and then write a study about it to then have states like California tell you that you're not allowed to drive your gas-powered vehicle and you need to drive an EV. That's these NGOs, and there are probably some good NGOs, but overall, the government should not be in the business of funding NGOs. In its name, non-governmental organizations. Figure out your own funding. You and I should not be on the dole. This happens all over the place. If you've been a longtime listener of mine, you remember back on the radio, every year we'd go through the budgets for both the New Hanover County, the city of Wilmington. And it was always so frustrating to see the tens of thousands, in cases hundreds of thousands of dollars that were being doled out to all of these groups. In this case, locally, it was nonprofits. And it's not that nonprofits don't do good work. But the question is that really the goal of government? Should government be taking on those actions? And I'm sorry, but in the financial hole that we are in at the federal government, it just doesn't make sense. You know, I kind of equate it to how regular everyday people live their lives. Something that I have dealt with over the last couple of months. If you happen to lose your job, if you happen to lose your job and you no longer have an income coming in, most individuals have to, at least for a short period of time, change their lifestyle. You don't frivolously spend. You keep very close eye on things that you are spending on. That's just how regular, everyday, normal people operate when there's a financial change. Maybe you've got to make a huge payment to get something done. Need a new HVAC system, need a new roof replaced. What insurance isn't going to cover? You got to drop $5,000-$10,000 out of pocket. It probably changes your spending habits in the months to come. That's how people, for at least for the most part, those that have some semblance of fiscal responsibility, that's how they operate. And I am a strong believer that the federal government needs to do the exact same thing. We are in dire financial straits. We are in a financial hole right now that is really serious. Really, really serious. We are $36 trillion in debt. According to usdebtclock.org, $36 trillion. And you can see that number flying up as we speak this morning. And so we've got to make drastic changes. We've got to change our spending habits. We've got to get some of this stuff reined in. And while that temporarily means a change, maybe these NGOs don't get the funding over the next couple of years, while some of them I'm sure do really good work, you have to adapt and shift. I mean, there becomes a point in time where you have to make tough decisions. You've got to make sacrifices. And we are truly, I believe, at that point here in America. We are on the precipice of, I strongly believe, a full economic collapse due to our out-of-control spending. We have got to rein this stuff in. And it starts with some of these things. Trump gaining control over foreign aid and NGO funding. That stuff's just got to go. And again, temporarily, we get our budget back in line. We start paying off the debt. We stop racking up more than we can spend day after day, month after month, year after year. Okay, then we can look at bringing those programs back in. But we aren't in that spot as of right now. And so tough decisions have to be made. And that sucks. But same way when you lose your job, tough decisions have to be made. You don't want to do it. You don't, and you actually really don't have to do it. You can go rack up tens of thousands of dollars in credit card bills. It's your prerogative, your right to do so. But it's not a smart thing to do. Nobody believes that's a good thing to do going forward. You change your lifestyle. You have to adapt. And we need to do that same thing at the federal government. As for reducing the cost for American families, Trump is set to sign a presidential memorandum directing all agencies and departments to remove all federal actions that increase costs for families and consumers, which this off-the-record official told Fox News Digital will be the beginning of Trump's historic deregulation efforts of his second term. This massive record-setting, unmatched first wave of executive orders, the official told Fox News Digital, even after this, is a whole host in the queue to continue the restoration of America. The official added that this is the most extensive list of executive actions in American history, all guided by the relentless commitment to deliver on campaign promises. The official said there is a massive federal workforce that has been moving its objectives at the expense of the American people. And President Trump is taking command, saying you will serve the American people and only the American people. This is about stopping corrupt, abusive behavior and refocusing the government on its fundamental duties to the American people. So that's what's going on. That's what's running down in Washington a little bit later on today. As we are speaking right now, we have got some breaking news. Let me see if I can get this pulled up here. Joe Biden, in his final minutes within the Oval Office, is apparently signing some, or is apparently going forward with some more pardons. This is a statement from President Joe Biden. See if I can get this pulled up. We've got a bunch of pardons coming in. I'm reading this through for the first time with you. In certain cases, this is a statement from President Joe Biden. Apparently, he is giving a pardon to Mark Milley, Anthony Fauci, and members and staff of the Select Committee to investigate the January the 6th attacks on the U.S. Capitol. So Biden is pardoning Mark Milley, Anthony Fauci, and presumably Liz Cheney. We'll have to read through it. I'm not going to read through Joe Biden's droning on about how great Mark Milley and Dr. Fauci are. So this is what he's signing. Apparently, it says this is This is why I'm exercising my authority under the Constitution to pardon General Mark Milley, Dr. Anthony Fauci, and members of Congress and staff who served on the Select Committee and U.S. Capitol and D.C. Metropolitan Police officers who testified before the Select Committee. The issuance of these pardons should not be mistaken as an acknowledgement that any individuals engaged in any wrongdoing, nor should acceptance be misconstrued as an admission of guilt for any offense. That's a nice little parting gift. Let's see if I can get some more details on this as this is coming in literally as we are speaking this morning. Liz Cheney's got to be on that list, right? Scrolling through X to see what's on here. It does appear that Liz Cheney is on that list. So she would be one of these members of Congress that are getting this pardon. Isn't that rich? So they didn't do anything wrong. And right, we are under the impression and we are told that we've got a fully above board legal system, right? All of the legal attacks against, at the time, former president, then president-elect Donald Trump, all of that was above board. We don't have a politically charged judicial system. The only individuals that charged and then prosecuted with anything, that happens because they're guilty of something. Yet, Joe Biden is issuing preemptive pardons for Mark Milley, Anthony Fauci, and Liz Cheney. Because they're all criminals. And this is just more evidence and fact about the banana republic that the Democrats want to create. Criminal pardons before individuals are even charged. One nice little passing gift from Joe Biden. Preemptive pardons. I cannot wait for the clock to strike 12 noon today. This is the kind of crap that the American people are beyond done with. This is the kind of garbage that the American people have said, we're done. So, I mean, you really do have to ask yourself this. Let's just take Fauci as an example. Why is he issuing a pardon to Fauci? I thought Fauci, like, saved everybody's life with keep telling you 2 weeks to stop the spread, get an experimental vaccine and you can't get sick, wear this stupid cloth mask that doesn't prevent any virus or illness spread in any substantial way. Stand 6 feet apart, even though he just pulled that straight out of his ass. No evidence to back up that meant anything at all. So why is Joe Biden pardoning Anthony Fauci? If he's not a criminal and shouldn't be locked up for anything. Things that make you go, right? Oh, man. So Joe Biden is pardoning Mark Milley, Anthony Fauci, and Liz Cheney, as well as other members on the January 6th Select Committee. This guy in Joe Biden has been a complete and total utter disgrace to America. There is no doubt in my mind that he will go down as the worst president to ever serve this nation. And he is just really making sure he hammers that plaque into the wall on his way out so that he can make sure it is enshrined for everybody to see that President Joe Biden is, in fact, the worst president ever in American history. Mark Milley, Anthony Fauci, and Liz Cheney. All right. Well, we'll see what comes of that. I'm sure we'll get some comments from Trump. I don't know if he'll post anything on Truth Social. I'll keep refreshing that and keep an eye on it. And if not, maybe some comments, probably not during the inauguration itself, but maybe when he heads on over to Capital One Arena later in the day, maybe he'll make some comments on that. So that is what we are tracking in terms of some breaking news, some last minute pardons by old Joseph Robinette Biden. I want to remind you that you can download and listen to the podcast 24/7 if you're watching live this morning on YouTube, X, or Rumble, and you've got to head out. Got some things going on this Monday, MLK Day. You can listen to the podcast 24/7 by searching for it in your favorite podcast app. Just search for The Nick Craig Show, and then you'll see either a subscribe or follow button. Click on that, tap on that, and then you will get a new show delivered around 8:30, 9 o'clock, or between 8:30 and 9 o'clock each and every weekday morning. It's the Nick Craig Show podcast. Download and subscribe now. Well, ahead of the inauguration, President Trump was in D.C. yesterday at the Capital One Arena once again, and he held essentially one last hurrah, one last rally before he was set to or is set to take office, coming up here in just a couple of hours this morning. And I have just two clips from that as we head forward. Trump kind of gave his overall view, kind of an election recap as he saw it play out back a couple of months ago. Take a listen.
This is the greatest political movement in American history. And 75 days ago, we achieved the most epic political victory our country has ever seen. That's what they say. We won the popular vote for the first time of any Republican in many, many years. We swept all seven swing states by big numbers. We won Pennsylvania, we won Georgia, we won North Carolina, we won Michigan, we won Wisconsin. We won Arizona. We won Nevada. We won them all by historic margins. And we won the great state of Florida by 13 points. Nobody's done that ever. And a record that will never be broken. All 50 states shifted toward the Republican Party, the first time that that's ever happened. All 50 states. We won the largest number of African-American voters in Republican Party history. We won more Hispanic-American votes than any Republican has ever gotten before by a lot. And we won Latino men and women, and on top of that, youth, men, women, urban, suburban, rural, and people from everywhere in between are joining us in record numbers. We've never had anything like this. Too big to rig, that's what I used to say. Too big to rig. We made it too big.
Too big to rig. And he talked about all the groups that he was successful in winning. He talked about all the successes that he had in his campaign. In the contest of convincing the American people that he was best suited to handle these issues going forward. That he was the best person on the ballot to deal with the issues that are facing the American people. Crime, immigration, the economy, the list goes on and on and on. He did that. He successfully convinced the American people that was the case. And it's why, again, he won all the swing states and why he won the popular vote. Because like what we just saw, literally minutes ago, breaking right here on the Nick Craig Show, President Joe Biden issues last-minute pardons to Fauci, Milley, Liz Cheney, Adam Schiff, and other members of the January 6th committee. The Democrats, and specifically in this case, Joe Biden, don't believe what they say. Joe Biden will tell you over and over again, the Democrats will tell you ad nauseum how they believe in the rule of law, how criminals need to be held accountable for their actions. Constantly. Constantly gaslighting and browbeating the American people as to how we need to believe in the rule of law. And criminals like Trump, as they say, need to be held accountable for their actions, right? Because Trump is a criminal and he needs to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. Yet Joe Biden, literally minutes ago, issues executive pardons for individuals that have not even been charged with a crime. Because Joe Biden and the Democrats are full of you know what when they claim they care about the rule of law. With the law and order. This is what we care about, guys. We care about the law, the rules of order. We care about all of this stuff. Criminals need to be held accountable for their actions. Unless you're a Democrat, unless you're Anthony Fauci, Mark Milley, Liz Cheney, Adam Schiff, or the rest of these scumbags on the January 6th committee. If you're those people, to hell with the rule of law. The rule of law doesn't matter for you. You can lie, you can be corrupt, you can, in the case of the January 6th Select Committee, destroy evidence illegally, and you can get away with it because you're a Democrat. If you're Joe Biden's deadbeat, degenerate, loser son, who is a criminal, who lied on a federal gun application claiming that he was not an active user of drugs, that was proven in the Hunter Biden laptop, that these same clowns said were fake, you can lie on a federal gun application and get a pardon from your dad. Because the rule of law is so damn important, right? The rule of law is the cornerstone of our democracy, which they claim Trump is going to destroy. Yet to hell with the rule of law if you're a Democrat. You can get away with whatever you want. You'll be given a pardon by the media. And then, if you're lucky enough, get a pardon from the worst, most corrupt president in the history of the United States in Joe Biden. So why did Harris and the Democrats get their clocks cleaned in November of last year? It's because of this. This and all of the other issues. The American public are beyond fed up with the constant gaslighting that the Democrats spew. They are beyond fed up with the holier-than-thou BS that comes out of these people's mouth. They claim rule of law, yet they will prosecute their political enemies. They claim law and order, yet they will give their political friendlies preemptive pardons literally hours before the exchange of power. It turns out that that's not a very popular thing to do. It turns out the American people don't really like that, especially when the media and Democrats have spent years on end talking about how important all of this stuff is ad nauseum. Yet, once again, one of my favorite sayings, rules for thee, but not for me. And that, I think that perfectly encapsulates the last 4 years in the United States. Don't live by what I do, but live by what I say. Joe Biden talks about unity and bringing the American people together and the rule of law and being a good, honest person and just all the same nonsense platitudes for years and years and years. Yet this guy, single-handedly by himself, has divided America more than anybody else and does not practice one damn word that he preaches. So how did we lose the November election, Democrats ask themselves? By this. You guys single-handedly shot yourself in both feet. And by the way, I'm not upset with that. I'm glad that the American people finally woke up and smelled the coffee in regards to the nonsense and the BS that the Democrats were trying to sell them. And it's on display literally on Inauguration Day, the same kind of crap that cost them the election in November. Because Democrats, they're struggling with this across the nation. It's an issue here in North Carolina, and it's obviously an issue up at the federal level. They are incapable of looking into a mirror and having any sort of inward reflection. They can't look at anything that they do and try and rationalize and wrap their head around why that might not be popular. Why the American people are rejecting this kind of policy, procedure, whatever it is that they're bringing forward. They're incapable of looking at that. And so Trump says that he is going to bring in a brand new America. And he talked about that yesterday at the Capital One Arena.
Tomorrow at noon, the curtain closes on four long years of American decline, and we begin a brand new day of American strength and prosperity, dignity and pride. Bringing it all back. Once and for all, we're going to end the reign of a failed and corrupt political establishment in Washington, a failed administration. We're not going to take it anymore. We're going to stop the invasion of our borders. We're going to reclaim our wealth. We're going to unlock the liquid gold that's right under our feet. Liquid gold. We're going to bring back law and order to our cities. We're going to restore patriotism to our schools, get radical left woke ideologies the hell out of our military and out of our government. And we are going to make America great again.
Yeah. I mean, doesn't that sound great? Doesn't that sound like exactly what we need? Cut all that nonsense out and get back to making America great. Putting our country first instead of seemingly every other nation. It's MAGA Monday. it's going to be a great day. And it's going to, and hopefully, it's going to be a great couple of years. Because Trump has got a lot that he's got to get accomplished. The American people, there's this kind of back and forth, whether the American people gave Republicans a mandate in November. I am of the opinion that they did. I'm of the opinion that, yes, in fact, the American people very clearly said, hey, this is a political mandate going forward. We are ready to see change in America. And I'm going to say this truthfully and honestly. They need to hold Trump and the Republicans to account on that. We voted for the change that we wanted, and it's incumbent on him and the Republicans to get it done. And if they don't, that's a problem. Trump has got a pristine opportunity in front of him over the next, let's call it 16 to 18 months ahead of the midterm election, to get a lot done. A lot of things that could have generational impacts in America, as they should. But he's got to do it. Not get caught up in the fray, not get caught up in the nonsense, not put people around him, and we've seen this unfortunately a lot in the past, individuals around him that don't have his or your or mine in terms of their best interests in mind. They're all for themselves. And that starts today with these apparent 200 executive actions that are coming forward that are set to do a variety of things from the border to oil and gas production to energy to crime to the economy to inflation. That's the first step. And then it's going to be on Congress to enshrine some of this stuff in law, to get working on these things, to lower prices for the American consumer. There are already reports that Trump is set to, on Tuesday, tomorrow, which will be his first full day in office, is set to start carrying out some major raids in cities like Chicago, having ICE and other federal agencies start getting in there and getting rid of convicted criminals, which has got the left, of course, beyond the pale. He's got the left absolutely shaking in their boots. That's the kind of stuff that absolutely needs to happen. That's the kind of stuff that I think the American public is interested in seeing done. It, all of this is getting back to some semblance of normalcy. Getting back to an America in which people can, you know, look at the news and read what's going on and not scratch their heads and say, you're doing what? You're teaching my kid what in school? You're allowing men in women's bathrooms? You're allowing grown men to participate in women's sports? What are we doing? What kind of cockamamie nonsense is that? And it starts today, around noon. So again, we will be live a little bit later on today, back on our YouTube, Rumble, and X accounts. I'll be streaming the inauguration live. You can watch that over on YouTube, Rumble, and X. Subscribe to the show on channel on YouTube, youtube.com/TheNickCraigShow. You can subscribe over there and not only get access to the live show, but the pre-recorded show after the fact, or the post, the re-upload of the show, I should say, after we wrap up here each and every weekday morning. So that is what we're looking forward to with the inauguration. We'll be back live with that a little bit later on today. Hopefully you'll tune in for that. And then, of course, a full recap coming up for you tomorrow morning. So we are going to pause here for a second and do a quick transition into some interesting weather that could be affecting portions of southeastern North Carolina over the next couple of days. Things have gone back and forth for the last little bit about potentially a major snowstorm affecting portions of Wilmington. And as I was checking out the models over the weekend and keeping a close eye on what we might be dealing with, it doesn't seem like we're going to be dealing with a major snowstorm like was originally discussed. There was the talk about 5, 6, 7, 8 inches of snow across the Wilmington area, very select across the coast. That's probably not going to happen. It seems like we're probably looking at 1, 2 inches, maybe 3 if things really overperform. But with that, you've got some schools making some major changes in terms of their learning schedules for the rest of the week. And I just wanted to go through that real quick for our audience here in southeastern North Carolina. In New Hanover County, the school system there has announced that schools will be switching to remote learning on Tuesday. I suspect they'll also end up doing the same thing on Wednesday because the snowfall is expected to come in late in the day, late in the afternoon and evening hours on Tuesday, and fall through Wednesday. So I would suspect remote learning and these kind of things for Tuesday. However, Wednesday, probably the same case as well. Over in Pender County, they are releasing students early tomorrow. They have not made any additional decisions about Wednesday. Most of that will probably come throughout the day tomorrow. And over in Brunswick County, as of right now, they say that things are full send and everything is good to go for tomorrow, and they will notify families no later than 7 p.m. tomorrow night as to what their plans are for Wednesday. With that, there's also some changes in local government. The town of Curie Beach announced that it's canceling its town hall meeting that was set to take place tomorrow night, and the town of Carolina Beach is postponing its 25-26 budget open house, which was scheduled to take place tomorrow. That's been rescheduled to next Tuesday, the 28th, from 4 until 6 p.m. So you're encouraged to attend that if you are a resident of Carolina Beach and want to be part of their budget session that is ongoing. So some changes in regards to that, having taken a look at the weather earlier this morning. Again, at this point, it's not seeming like a major snowstorm like mate was talked about over the last couple of days. However, looking at some of the models, and you know, it's important to note that these things change pretty rapidly, these computer-generated models, and we're probably looking at a situation in which 1, 2, 3 inches. Now, there is still the possibility that this storm well overperforms, and we could get 4, 5, 6 inches, but the likelihood of that seems significantly lower than may have looked a couple of days ago. So we'll continue to keep an eye on that. We'll do a little bit of a deeper dive into the weather tomorrow. I'll pull out some computer models and we'll take a look at that together and see. Are we looking at a generational snowstorm in southeastern North Carolina are more of kind of a nuisance style event as we go through the day and night tomorrow and into the early or morning hours of Wednesday. We'll be keeping a close eye on that. Want to remind you to keep up to date with breaking news throughout the day. You can follow me over on X at Nicholas M. Craig. We stream the show live over there as well, and that is a great way to keep up to date with news of national, heavily focused on North Carolina, southeastern North Carolina as well, by heading over on over to my X account at Nicholas M. Craig and giving me a follow over there. And with that, if you would like to get access to daily show notes and more, you are encouraged to check out our Patreon over at patreon.com/Nick Craig. You can get access to those daily show notes. It's a pretty simple service. There are two different tiers available, $5, $10 a month if you believe you're getting some value out of the show. You can subscribe to that, help financially support the program, and also get access to some of that bonus content. So appreciate it. We've already had a couple folks come on board with that. It is greatly, greatly appreciated, and it is so great to be back talking about the issues here in southeastern North Carolina. James is commenting over on our YouTube live this morning. He says, so glad to have you back. James, it's great to be back. Thanks for joining us on our show here this morning as we trek through what is set to be a very couple of interesting years here across the country with the Nick Craig Show streaming live weekday mornings at 7 o'clock. All right, so that's going to do it. We'll be back here in a couple of hours if you're watching live back on our live platforms to cover the inauguration of President-elect, soon to be the 47th president of the United States, in Donald Trump. It is set to be a great day, and it is something that we are going to be keeping a close eye on. Thank you so much for joining us this morning on the Nick Craig Show. If you can't join us live for the inauguration, we're back tomorrow morning at 7 right here on YouTube, Rumble, and X. Have a great inauguration.